One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the?
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of L.A. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't-make-me-come-back-there for an exclusive offer for backseaters. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast.
I agree.
Alongside me in my kitchen right now, slash kind of a kitchen adjacent.
It's a breakfast nook.
It is a nook. Yeah, let's not call this a dining room.
No, you're not entertaining the Queen of England.
No, I honestly, I would take any queen. I would take one expressive queen off of El Cajon Boulevard. And it would be two.
Yeah.
There's some queens on that boulevard.
Right.
Welcome to our little podcast. Don't make me come back there. Yeah. Backseaters, welcome back. New folks. I hope it goes okay.
Yeah.
I hope we are.
Yeah. I hope we don't turn you off a podcast forever.
I hope we're a J-Day, gets a second opportunity.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Right.
We'll treat you well.
Yes.
Respectful.
Open the door for you.
Kind.
Audibly.
Thoughtful.
We're picking up the tab with our voices.
We are a funny podcast about family. I think I said that already. And alongside me is Stephen English, who is the co-host, and he's a stand-up comedian.
And world's stinkiest dad right now.
He's a little smelly.
I smell.
He's coming from not the world, but the land of Disney.
Yes. Yeah.
As you know, I'm not a fan of.
No.
I'm not. No. Let's take that back.
You are just.
I just think it's overrated.
Right.
And you experienced it for the first time as an adult today.
Yeah, with a kid. With my own kid. Not just like not being fun uncle, which is easy.
Yeah.
Fun uncle is easy.
Yeah, exactly.
You take him on the ride and then you say, hey, he's kind of hungry. Why don't you go buy him a $9 slice of pizza?
You're from uncle. Or you were giving him.
I'm saying when I'm the fun uncle,
right.
I take him on the ride and then when they get hungry, I go, hey, your kid's hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
Bust out your credit card.
Yeah.
But this time, like, I had to do like all of it.
Yeah.
And I had to do it by myself because Dorothy was broadcasting.
Yes.
From Disneyland.
And you're like, why does my infant not want to eat this pizza?
I was just kept shoving pizza right in his mouth. It's like, you're crying. Why are you still crying about this pizza?
Oh, baby Bach.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear more about that Disney trip. But before, I want to let you guys know we have a fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Episode today. I had a chance to interview Alyssa Limperis. Alyssa is so funny. I love Alyssa. I first like heard of Alyssa through some of her viral videos.
Right. Where she just gets sick on camera. Is that what you're saying?
That's a she. She gets a disease.
Yeah.
She
just one
contracts
a week.
Contracts. I almost said venereal.
Right.
She contracts a disease.
Right. Can you contract in a positive? Can you contract anything positively? Can you ever contract a smile?
Just happiness.
I contracted HIV. Happiness in my veins.
You know what? You took a bad thing.
Yeah.
And you had a real positive switch.
Right. I'm just coming from the happiest place on earth. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's
Disney magic.
You start finding the silver lining in everything.
I imagineered it. Anyways.
We are off the rails.
Off the monorail.
Oh, gosh. Alyssa
I'm a father now.
Alyssa is so funny.
Yeah.
And some of her videos, she does a lot of characters. The first one that I saw was just impersonations of her mom. And her mom, like, you know, what moms are like when you come home from vacation and all kinds of. They're so good. They're so funny.
Yeah.
And then I was on a show with her and we met and we connected. Up in LA, and I was up there this weekend, and so I reached out and I was like, "Hey, we'd love to have you on the pod." And
sure.
We did it. We went to her apartment. We recorded in there. It was great. It was really fun. And she is as funny as, and interesting as I'd hoped.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys enjoy this episode. She's, like I said, she's a stand-up comedian. She's an actress. She does stuff online. You can find her at Alyssa Limp, at Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-S-A-L-I-M-P, Alyssa Limp. Give her a follow and enjoy all those videos and the really fun content that she puts out.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan, and I was. You know, sometimes you see a person online, and you go, "I hope you're like what you seem like."
Right, right.
Even better.
That's the history of my dating life, pretty much. When I'm like, I hope this person's not trying to murder me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some close calls.
This seems like a good time to remind some of our parents on this episode that there were going to be a couple things who were like, maybe you don't want your kids to listen to, but we're in too deep on that.
Right.
The show that I did with Alyssa, where we met in person, is we did it at what we would call an adult store.
Right.
We'll talk more about it in the episode.
It's a very Hollywood thing to do,
but
right?
Yeah, like very much so.
A show like in a place that has no reason to have a show.
And it's a great show.
Right,
of course it is.
Yeah.
There's a tub full of Miller Lights. There's a laundry basket or hamper. What do you call them? Hamper basket.
Hamper.
Full of Miller Lights.
Right.
And waters, because responsible.
Right.
And like the host, Eli Olsberg, like has, it's in like contractually with him that he has to, during his set, like advertise a few of the products.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
And we met there. And so we have some fun and talk about our discomfort and make some jokes that maybe you don't want your kids to listen to.
Right.
But if you're rad, you do.
Right. Right.
So I hope you guys enjoy this one here. Also, a couple things to let you guys know about. I have some upcoming headline dates I'd like to see you guys at if you're interested in such things. On December 14th, I'll be playing the Grandstand in San Diego. On February 9th, I'll be at Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane. On February 26th, I will be at Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville, Tennessee. And May 14th through 17th, I'll be at Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington. Those are set dates and tickets are on sale now if you go to dustinnickerson.com/shows. Plus, we have a couple ones that we are going to, tickets will be on sale soon, but you can save the date. February 27th, I'm going to be in Raleigh, the bright lights of Raleigh.
Right.
April 16th, I'm going to be in Ontario, California, that one.
The city that never naps.
Never naps. It sleeps.
Right.
It
gets a solid 8 in, but it doesn't take nobody's day naps.
And then May 22nd, Portland, Oregon, and we're working on a date May 24th in Oakland. Also, I'm looking for something to do on May 23rd. If somebody's like, hey, I got a city and I can get some people to show up to your show, Dustin.
Right. If you have an adult store.
And you're somewhere in the Portland, in between the Portland and Bay Area. Somewhere in that general part of the woods, a Grants Pass, Oregon, maybe something like that. And you guys want to see if we can do some little punk rock, you know, independent show. We can do anything like that. I don't know if you've noticed it, but every character of my household has made an appearance so far in the recording of this.
Oh, nice.
Our cats wrestle at this hour.
Right. I had cats. Now I have cat. One of my cats, I think
went off and died. It disappears. Right. That's what they do.
I think someone
is
keeping it. And I think treating it's like really like has it inside and like only feeds it like wet food. And I think she just kind of one day was just like, you know what? I'm not coming
back.
This
sounds like a lie that your parents told you to not let you know that your cat was dead. No, it's with a different
family. It's with
family.
An old woman who just has no one else. And so she's providing some comfort in her late. And then when she dies, the cat will eat her and it's ashes to ashes.
Yeah.
Hakuna Matata.
It's whoever dies first eats the other one.
Because
that lady lost her license 20 years ago.
And her mind 16 years ago.
Exactly.
So she's been operating on crazy for a while.
Yeah.
Depths of insanity.
She'll eat that cat.
Pretty cool.
And it'll be one of the best meals she's had in a while.
That's rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
I'm actually not even mad.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know how we got into catting and stuff, but I know what goes good.
Alf.
I know.
We just watched a bunch of Alf.
Well, I was going to say, I know what pairs nicely with cat.
A nice red.
A nice.
What do you think would be good with cat?
Anything from Dow.
Yeah.
Did you saw that coming?
Yeah,
surely?
Yeah.
But a mile away.
But it practical. But like in real, like really.
What would go good with?
Do you think it would be a white or a red?
Cats, I think a white meat. So I think it's going to be a white. So I think you're gonna. It's gonna be a Riesling.
A Riesling, nice sweet, something sweet.
Something sweet.
Yeah.
We were thinking the same.
I was honestly thinking the same exact thing. We were tracking. I didn't know what to call it. When you said what I was trying to think of. I was like, I know it's like an R or something, but something sweet.
A Riesling.
Yeah.
Shout out to my mom. I have been well versed in different wines from a young age.
Franzia? Did they make a Franzia Riesling?
Why did you assume that my mom is trash like that?
No, I just saying that most people like, who write about wine.
That guy comes from boxed wine roots.
Hey, man.
Yeah. You know what's not? You know who doesn't make that wine?
Federal.
You know who doesn't make boxed wine? Dow Vineyards.
Right.
In winery. We're talking.
Bottles only.
Bottles. And you can't twist that top off.
No.
Absolutely not.
No pop tops here. It's got gravitas. That wine bottle's got a lot of gravitas.
Oh, if the wine itself is in it.
Yeah.
Guys, let's tell you in some positive terms. Right. And I don't have to do it with eating cats. about Dow Vineyards and Winery.
Right.
As you guys know, Dow is the sponsor of this episode and this podcast. Yeah. And man, oh man, do we love Dow. Yep. Located at the, down here, the highest elevation of the Central Coast in...
Paso
Robles.
Riesling. Yeah, Robles, sorry. Paso Robles.
Paso Riesling at 2,200 feet. States one of the highest vineyards in Paso, and the views are breathtaking. The food is going to be good. The wine is going to be good. The whole experience is great. There's no negatives. Melissa and I went up there probably a month or so ago. If it's, I love anything, any experience in an environment that you can get like that where you kind of get sucked into the whole thing.
Yeah.
The story of the Dow brothers, their whole family, the ambiance, the, the atmosphere, the views, the food, how the staff treat you. It's a great experience, and we highly recommend you guys go check it out. And we have a special deal for our backseaters where you can go become a Dow member for the day. And included in that is a VIP tasting, exclusive access and seating. You don't want one of those back row spots.
No.
A guided tour of the estate. And a surprise gift. Somebody messaged me and let me know what those surprise gifts, by the way.
Yeah.
All at $45 a person.
Whoa.
$45 a person.
Deal alert.
this ain't even Black Friday.
Right.
Or Cyber Monday.
Or Small Business Thursday.
get this. You're going to go to DowVineyards.com. That is D-A-O-U, DowVineyards.com/ don't make me come back there to go get that special offer. All right. We have a couple things. First off, okay, so we don't have voicemails this week, but what we do have, somebody DM'd me, and I wanted to address this. Somebody came up to me and said, hey, Dustin.
Someone slid in your DMs.
Slid into my DMs and said, you mentioned this once on stage, or I think it was on the podcast, about how even though three things, one, there's a lot of reasons that I wouldn't get hit on after a show.
Yeah.
Talk a lot about the wife.
Right.
A lot about the kids.
Yeah.
In mostly positive terms.
Right.
Not particularly attractive.
Oh, come on.
I don't usually have very good sets.
You're a smoke show.
I just had an ugly bomb. And yet. Some ladies fancy the not very good looking, not very funny, happily married man.
Yeah.
And those.
That's right in their sweet spot.
Yeah. Yep. Those are called homewreckers.
Right.
Are what they are. But people ask me, they said, do people come up and hit on you after shows? The answer is yes. But it's not, it's a very specific group. Have we talked about, I don't know if we, it's a very specific group of people that do it.
Right.
It's a lot of single moms.
Sure.
A lot of what I'm projecting out there, it's what they want.
Yeah.
They're not looking for some single guy to have a good time with.
No.
They're looking for some guy to make single and have a good life with. They're looking to settle down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really settle down in every sense of the word.
Right.
Like settle down, they're settling for me. settling down. and really just to kind of iron out there. And so it is an interesting thing. I have felt very much, like there's always some people that'll just, when booze is involved, it's one thing.
Sure.
But it is quite a thing to have, a woman, make the moves.
Yeah.
Maybe be a little touchy.
Yeah.
A little close, a little grabby, those type things, as they tell me about their kids.
Right.
And they're like, this one plays sports.
You're like,
you look like you could play catch with this one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, I'm going to, I'm on the road a lot. You don't want to marry into this Cats in the Cradle.
This isn't what you think it is.
Yeah.
I'm not here every weekend.
I'm not the house MC.
This is a one-time thing.
And they also asked her, like, is it ever a tempting thing? And it's not. And I don't say that out of some like nobility sense.
It's because Melissa's right here.
Melissa is always watching. No, it is become one. The nice way to be like, I'm so happily married, and you could say that. The other is so much work. Oh gosh.
Could you imagine having a mistress?
Seems like so much work.
It's hard to even spell mistress.
Oh man.
Having one.
You can't spell it without spelling mister though.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Exactly. We don't even have the time to even look it up.
So what I'm saying is skip it.
Yeah.
If you have any interest in hitting on me any way whatsoever, skip it. I'm too lazy.
All right. Well, cross that off my Christmas list.
You had a question for me.
I did. Okay. So we were at, as mentioned before, we were at Disneyland. I had the baby a lot by myself today.
Okay.
And
I'm glad you didn't say babysitting. That's a pet peeve of folks of when they're like,
I was babysitting.
Oh, your child?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So I had the baby today,
mm-hmm.
and I felt woefully underprepared.
Right.
I had to check out of the hotel room, which I don't ever do. I'm very bad at packing. Very good. I'm not a details guy. I'm a big picture kind of guy.
Okay.
Not a details guy.
First thing, you never have to check out of a hotel room.
No, well, I had to call the guy to come up to get the bag, so I had to make sure everything was together.
You needed the bag.
So my question to you is, how do you get to that place where you? Because I feel like I'm a good dad when I'm in a secondary role. What is your number one advice for when you are it's all you? Because I'm starting paternity leave tomorrow in hours. I'm on the clock for paternity leave, and it's gonna be me all day. So what is the number?
Right.
Give me two or three things that I need to like think about
of how to really kind of step up
when it's your when it's just 100% you.
I would never neglect the opportunity for the threat of violence.
But see, that's the thing is, Dorothy speaks to him so much in Vietnamese. I don't even know if he has like a good command of the English language right now.
No. It's a lot of physical intimidation, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, really hovering, you know.
Wear bad boy t-shirts. So he know, like, no fear shirts.
While the movie Bad Boys is on.
Yeah, like wear no fear t-shirts. And
Never, you know, never hurt him. But emotionally, you could do some damage at that age.
Okay, yeah. Make fun of his fat thighs.
Make fun of how he doesn't have any teeth yet.
Oh, so dumb. What an idiot. It's like, I have 30-something.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have one.
Yeah, you want...
You fool.
All bears are gummy bears for you, buddy.
Oh! And you're so fat. Let's go back to that. And you're fat.
Oh, man. How you get so fat you ain't got no teeth? What do you mean? Oh.
Yeah.
I think in my experience, kids respond better to neglect than you would realize.
Okay.
And I think what they realize is they think, you know, when you're really involved, they just ask more.
And they think, I don't need to learn to tie my shoes yet because my dad will tie my shoes for me.
Yeah,
but it's like, dad's not here, so I've got to figure this out.
He'll feed me. I don't need to learn to feed myself.
How do I make a Pop-Tart?
Exactly.
Right.
And really neglect really does raise up a lot of independence in kids.
That is very true. Yeah.
And I don't think that, you know, how old's Buck now?
3.5 months.
Not only is that not too early, if anything, you're a little behind.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
He's kind of running the house a little bit.
He's walking around with a pampered little...
He's rolling around.
He looks spoiled.
He's rolling around with a swagger that I don't appreciate.
I don't enjoy my time with him.
No one does.
That entitlement...
Very few people
do. It's amazing how early it kicks on.
Yeah.
Just this punk little baby.
He was looking at you. He's always got one eyebrow. Kind of like the Rock. Like he's the Rock. You know, he's always like one eyebrow up. Like, you call me a jabroni.
Yeah, I feel like he's looking at me like I'm supposed to do something for him, too.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, this diaper ain't gonna change itself.
Yeah, and I'm like, mm-mm.
Right.
First off, there's some legal issues with that whole
scenario.
That's
true, yeah.
So, a threat of violence, neglect. Also, like, just remembering, like, those one-on-one times are, like, amazing and they seem stressful. And,
right.
And you don't get like a lot of that personal connect very often, you know? So you will have like these moments that you two will share that nobody else is around.
Right.
That is But I mean, honestly, it's for the first two.
Yeah, for the most part, ignore and beat him to be
no,
cool.
No, 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 no. Don't. I didn't say beat him. But don't let him know that you're not going to beat him.
So if you if you're
never
paying
let
attention,
him know, yeah. that you won't do it.
If you're paying attention to him, make sure he's afraid.
Exactly.
And if he's not afraid, you're not there.
I wouldn't just sit on the couch.
Yeah.
With your choice of instrument of discipline in the hand.
Okay.
Don't make eye contact with him, but let him know that, you know, he should be able to see it.
Right. Like a cat of nine tails.
Cat of nine tails. Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, more subtle, cat of six tails.
I only have one cat now, He's so only- that's going to be hard. I got a cat of one tails right now because that old lady.
Or just the cat. Just that's sit there and, you know what?
Yeah.
A little jealousy can go a long way for developing a kid. If he feels like that cat's getting more attention to him, that yeah. could do not, that's a, that's, that is a missed opportunity.
That's true.
You show that, this week of your paternity leave should be the best week of that cat's life.
Yeah. Wet food every day.
Every day.
Every hour of the day.
Give the cat your box formula and make eye contact.
Yeah. And then give Buck the cat food. Be yeah. like, the dry one, yeah. too. Give him the dry stuff.
Oh, you can't crunch that up? No teeth?
Because you don't have any teeth.
Perfect.
There it is. Well, I knew you were going to send me straight.
I'm here for you.
Man.
You knew that. Okay, guys. Before we get into this episode, though, I do want to let you guys know. We're going to do probably three-ish December episodes.
Yeah.
And for these episodes, we need your voicemails
need
and we need your emails.
Crave them. I want to contract some voicemails.
And you're going to send those emails to don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com.
Yep.
You're going to send those voicemails to 619-292-8787.
Or you can mail them to me at 974.
Don't put extra numbers in their head. And what we want to hear from you guys are just simple, quick stories. Maybe yeah. the voicemail is a minute and a half, two max. Yeah. I want to hear your best and your worst holiday family memories.
Yeah.
Mostly, I want to hear your worst.
Right.
Because they're funnier.
Yeah.
I'm talking family drama. This could be Christmas. This could be Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This could be Kwanzaa. This yeah. could be Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Whatever it might be, we're talking the November to this could be New Year's. New Year's a big player
yeah.
in one of these.
Yeah. yeah.
Your best and your worst family member family memories on these, and we're going to go pretty heavy on those. So we got a couple fun episodes, themed ones for on New Year's, and we'll probably on New Year's and Christmas Eve we might run old episodes, but we're not sure. Either way, we'll have some fresh emails and stuff for you. So you guys send us those emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com and send us your voicemails at 619-292-8787. And that's it. Enjoy this episode with Alyssa, everybody.
Love you guys.
And we want people to be comfortable and
look at this.
Man, oh man. You yes. are just inches away from full lay down.
I mean, this is the closest thing you can get to a sleep.
Yeah.
Without legally being asleep.
What's the yoga pose where you just lay down? Corpse?
Yeah, the only pose I can do.
You're three-fourths corpse.
Have you ever done, are we rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever done, what's it called? Restoration yoga or something.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there's one form of yoga where you just lie down the whole time. And
it's like kindergarten nap time is
it's
what it is.
It's absolutely adult kindergarten nap time. And sometimes they even come around and they're like good, and they just kind of tap your shoulders. It's like
this sounds like the type thing that like people in the Midwest think people in LA do. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like they're going into their cryo tanks and then they're coming out and they're doing lay down massage yoga.
I feel like every day in LA, I'm like, this is what people make fun of us for. And we're just doing it.
It just becomes normal.
It becomes normal.
Yeah. Yeah. We are. There's no doubt that especially in the world that we live in, it's become like a caricature.
Yes.
You know, like of like I like when I hear like, you know, because I work with a lot when like you'll hear an LA comic even try and get something that like something about their therapist to work.
Yes.
And you've got some farmer in Dayton that's like, what?
Therapy.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I'm too tired. I don't have problems. I'm too tired.
That's it. That's so it. It's like, I only have problems because I have nothing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just spinning in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so it.
people who are like, and I'm very pro therapy, but I do,
no, me too.
But I do sometimes I think that like when you hear people are like, man, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
You just got to do the work. And I was like, that makes me think that you don't have a job that has a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because you have three kids. I feel like once you have kids, you're I don't know.
No, I don't
have the time. I can't possibly.
I should have worked this out before I had you. But now we're all in this together.
Now we all share these problems. Yeah, exactly.
Whatever problems I have, I'm putting on you now. So,
you know, I think there's like diminishing returns on it. I think it like you have to do work to a certain point. But then I do think like, if I'm ruminating for too long, then I'm like, oh, I just got to go do something
right.
And then I'll feel better.
Yeah. At what point does it just become action oriented?
Yes.
Or just, do you ever reach a point? Like, are you like actively in therapy?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You bet. I am a VIP student. I'm doing two-a-days.
You got a punch card.
I got a punch card. I'm paying my therapist.
You type in your rewards number.
Yeah. I get VIP treatment. I'm like, I get treated like the godfather. I walk in and everyone's like, she's here. She's here.
They kiss they your kiss ring.
They kiss my ring. The whole place would shut down.
Yeah, I don't even know where this cannoli came from. I don't understand, but I love that you know me and that we know you.
Yeah, no, I am actively in therapy. Yeah.
Then do you feel like there is a certain point of where, I mean, because it's different for every individual, of where you go, do you come to some, this is like, take something like anxiety. Like I can be pretty anxious and pretty doomsday-y.
Yes.
But at a certain point I just go, well, this is just how I am.
Yes. That's nice.
You know, but it's not my favorite way to live, but also maybe it's okay that I'm like this.
I like that.
But
I think acceptance is, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you've like, if it's debilitating.
If it's debilitating, crippling.
Sure.
Or I'm harming others because of it.
100%.
Then clean all that up.
Exactly. Yeah. Then let's go ahead and tighten that up.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, if it's a certain way of being, then I think, I've at least helped me with that where it's like, oh, okay, well, if I don't like going to like big parties or then just change my, instead of being miserable at big parties, just like don't like do something else. Like go have a game night with your friends
or,
versus trying to fight like, I have to be okay with this thing. It's like, no, I just don't like that thing.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think, therapy, I do feel though with therapy that every time I end, I'm always like, oh, that, thank God I went. It's kinda,
it's like a workout.
Know, it's like a workout. Even if beforehand I'm like, I don't need this. I'm good. Afterwards I'm like, oh no, I forgive you, Dad. You know? Yeah.
That's why they keep you coming.
That's it.
That's what they want. Yeah. They
that's
don't.
That's true. They're real. It's I don't think so. My therapist is like, please, can we be done? It's not worth. Yeah, she raises the price $100 each session.
She's like, I know how many commercials you're booking. I know if you can or can't. I know that Walmart commercial's running a lot, but I don't know how much it's running.
Yeah, I mean, how about that? I went from someone today. I was at brunch with my boyfriend and his brother, and he was like, you going out for any, like, I feel like you could go out for teen stuff. I'm like, teen stuff? It's L.A. I'm a mother of two or three all the time. I went out for something yesterday where I had three kids. One of them was 12. I was like, a teen? No, babe. Those days are long gone. I have a teen. Oh, God.
That's true. You are in L.A. You're like, that's a, not only are you a mom, you're a mom that shops at Walmart.
That's right. Yeah, I'm like, exactly.
Which for in that role, they're like looking like young mom,
yep,
but not too cool.
Right.
Right.
It's the most humbling description.
Yeah.
When you look at that.
Yeah, what did it say?
It's not
like they want you to be cool because they need to portray they're not, they can't be the Walmart stereotype.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, every time I go out for something, it's like, it's always something like cool, but like not model caps, not model, like average looking, but good.
Yeah. I did a commercial here and it was like for, I don't know, it was some tax service and I showed up and I was like, not only was I like the only like kind of nerdy of the group, like, you know, they're like, hey, make sure you wear your collar and your glasses. I was like, all right. And then I was like the only white guy there too. And I was like, and it was like a party and we're all kind of sitting around and the commercial comes on and then I look at my lines and my whole job was just to explain what the tax service did. Like, I, that was, everybody else was like, what does this company do? And they're like, cheers in and high five. Yes. And I was like, well, you can get a refund on your 2019
shirt. Oh, yeah.
When you get put in a role like that, they're just, you're just, it's like, hey, here's how the world sees you.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they hand you the check and you're like, all right, that's fine.
Oh, totally. I'm very strict vegetarian, mostly vegan.
Yeah.
And
is that health or conscience?
Interesting. In my head, we were like going down like I-95, and then you asked that question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, well, no, let's go like, down a different route.
No. I was like, that could take us to... You know, I could talk forever about that.
Let's stay on the interstate then.
Okay, well, we can go back to that at any point. I could talk about food forever. But yeah, basically all this to say, I used to, because they ask sometimes, like, do you have any food restrictions? And I used to be like, yeah, I don't eat meat or I don't eat dairy. And then, you know, you do a couple commercials and you get paid. And now they're like, do you have any food restrictions for this, like, Whopper? And I'm like, absolutely not. You know, I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, I will eat anything.
Yeah.
The older you get, your standards for what you'll do for money, I'm sure once you have kids too, it's like, yeah, you'll do any, it's like, yeah. I'm not gonna be picky anymore.
I can't have it. Work is work.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not working from ideals anymore.
No, ideals, I haven't heard that word. Ideals.
I did Dove Davidoff's comedian, New York guy, he's in town in San Diego, and I showed him, he's at La Jolla, and I pointed out his old headshot from the La Jolla Comedy Store, and he took a breath, and he's like, so you look so young there, and he's like, it's the hope that I had. It's the hope. It's God. You don't realize.
Yeah, which is good, because then once you get to the, you know, you have to have hope for a little bit, and then at a certain point, yeah.
Well, you're navigating, to me, like, an interesting career, in that you are, because I had, forgive me, I had not heard of you until a couple viral videos.
Yes.
And I didn't know you did stand-up.
Yes.
Until we were on a show together. Yes. And that's my own naivety. Plus, I don't live in L.A. I get it. So.
And I just moved here.
Okay. From New York?
Yeah, a year ago.
Okay. And so we were just on a wholesome little show.
Yes.
In a sex shop. Don't you, like, that's a great show. I've done it 3 or 4 times. I always feel like I don't like the term sex shop.
I know.
Doesn't it sound so much worse? Like, it's like, sex
so
shop
true.
And like human trafficking feel the same to me.
It's so true.
Like, sex worker sounds bad. So sex shop, you're like, well, that's where the sex worker goes. That's their shop.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But adult store, sex shop, whatever it
may
be.
Even adult store is dirty. It's like, you know what? You're right. We have to rebrand sex shops. Well, I also think, though, sex shops, they are so intense.
Oh,
too.
Gosh. Yeah. There's no subtlety.
Whereas, like, I would almost like a nice little boutique sex shop, you know, where it's just like a vanilla, like, that might be nice. Like, you've basically just done missionary and you want to take it up one notch, because you walk into a sex shop and it's like, now you're going like,
you went from like, you're going from like shooting some hoops with your friends to the league.
That's it.
It's like all of a sudden LeBron's dunking on you.
Exactly. And you're like, how did I get here? I'm so short.
I'm not ready for this. It's,
yeah. Because you walk in and it's like, I don't know the outfit. I don't know what to do with any of this.
It's like Birbiglia's old bit about sex a lot like tennis. Like, you kind of want a partner at your same level.
Yes.
And you're just like, do you have like an underhand serve? Or do you, I'm not getting a lot over here. But yeah, and like, when you walk in there, you're like, these are pros.
These are
professionals.
Professional. And it makes you be like, wow, what am I doing in there?
Sometimes it makes me feel like it wasn't that bad. What was going? We don't need all this.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I don't walk in, I'm like, let's get some heavy, like some industrial strength stuff.
I know. Because then it seems like I'm also such a... My family was, as you know from these videos, was so kind of chaotic that I'm also, even just in general, I'm not I hate skiing because I'm like, I don't want the gear and all the...
Yeah.
So the idea of bringing gear into sex, I'm like, no, because now that's killing the mood. Hold on.
First off, you have especially we all have like small places too. Where do you store some of this stuff?
That's right.
You know, you put it in the garage.
Where are you putting
next
it?
To the treadmill?
Yeah, because those things were big. Yeah.
Some of those, some of them there, I would just stare at, and for like 10 minutes, I'm like, I still don't know what it is.
No idea.
I don't know what it does.
Yep.
I don't know what its purpose is.
I know. Same. Yeah. I'm scared of it. I feel like I'm in trouble.
I have
looking
so
at
many
it.
Questions, yes. And I feel inappropriate right now.
Right, because I'm yeah. not even at the level where I could ask a question that would, you know.
Well, the employees too are not like, hey, can we?
That's right.
Help you? Like, yeah. What level are you? You don't come in with like a code, a number.
Right there, you kind of look at them and they're.
It feels like these are all their things too.
That's exactly it. So you'd be, it's almost offensive to yeah. ask what the things are. It's like, these are theirs. Yeah. They're pros at this. Yeah.
They're like curators in a museum. They're like, they're telling you like this piece right here.
I started using that joke because I riffed that in that room. And now I started saying that when I walk into a sex shop, I feel like I'm walking into a museum with cool friends. I'm trying to impress. Where I'm just like, oh yes, I get it. I get this.
Was it you who did the riff there too? Cause they had some costumes that were just like normal costumes.
Yeah.
Like this is just a bear outfit. Isn't yeah. a sexy bear. It isn't.
Yeah, I love the idea of like going in there for that.
Right.
You know? Like, no. We're just, I know they have a good, look, I know they have a good bear costume. Yeah.
So we met at that show. And then coming back, I feel like you're kind of carving out a very unique little space in that you are doing, you know, commercials and acting and all these stuff that the stuff that and stand up in these shows. But you've also found like this is my voice, this is my character, this is the stuff that I want to do. But you kind of have to do both, right? Like it's not one or the other.
I think so. Yeah, I think you have to do everything. But I do feel very grateful that I did stand up first, you know, because I did stand up in New York for like 6 years before right. I ever started even making videos,
mm-hmm.
which is nice because, yeah, it just feels like that's a skill that I just like got to learn when I was, you know, younger and didn't have an audience or anything. So
right.
I got to kind of learn that just, yeah, more anonymously. Whereas, yes, which is nice.
Yeah. So that when people come see you, you're like, hey, I know how to do this.
I still know how to do this. Yeah. Because I think it'd be like, and even a couple times I've tried just doing characters that I do online on stage and it's like, it's not, you can't just do that.
It's a different thing.
It's a different thing. Yeah.
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 Yeah. If you went into one of those characters, everyone's like, what? We're not really here for this.
Right. Yeah. And they think they might want that, but then they don't.
Yeah.
They want.
It's like someone walking in the sex shop. They don't really know what they want.
They don't. You have to tell them. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I like doing, you know, I really like acting. And so I kind of feel like everything is a way to do that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we have a lot in common in that, you know, we're doing a lot of the same type things that we're all trying to do. One thing that I think we have the most in common though is that I've noticed here in your home when I use your restroom, we have the same Trader Joe's apple cider soap. And
you know what? Trader Joe's, wow. Talk about the opposite of
I got
a
the
sex
light
shop.
Back
I
in
walk
your
in there and I feel like I know everything. That place is home base for me. Wow. God, don't you feel like every time you walk in there, you're like, I can't believe it. They guessed the thing I wanted. You know, they always have something new. And I'm like, yeah, that's the thing.
How'd you know?
How did you possibly know? That's what I've been wanting.
It feels custom.
It feels custom. I love it there. And yeah, in New York, the line for Trader Joe's started when you walked in. It was this crazy apocalyptic thing where you would walk in and there'd be someone with a sign saying the line starts here. And you had to literally wait in line and shop and like
as you yes. wound around the store yes. or whatever.
Yes. And so when I got here and I live, you know, a second from Trader Joe's and there are no lines, I felt like, well, I can die now.
At Trader Joe's.
This is heaven. Yeah. This is it.
You can keep my body on ice in the frozen section.
Yes. Give it as little samples. pop your fig butter on me.
And somebody else is going to walk in and be like, how do they know what I wanted?
Yeah,
how did they know?
Exactly.
This is exactly I wanted a list.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. There are a few things that the whole family in my household enjoy. One are your videos. We love them so much. And I do wonder, having now talked a couple times, the mom, how much is real mom? Is this like...
Hundo. Yeah, she films them.
She films them.
It's a very collaborative
effort.
That
makes me like them so much more.
I know.
Did she pick your wardrobe? Did she?
Yeah, it's always her outfit.
It's her outfit.
It's her clothes. Yeah, so it's like...
It's so funny. I have one. I was like, I wonder who's shooting this. It's your
it's
mom.
It's my mom.
Is she laughing along?
Have a lot of fun, yeah. And we break a lot and we have a lot of fun and they're like such joyful. It's the most fun. I was thinking about that the other day where I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever have more. I hope I will. But they're the most fun days ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just have so much fun. They were born, you know, my mom and I spent a lot, my dad passed away. My mom and I spent a lot of time together.
How old were you when your dad passed away?
4 years ago.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's very recent. Thanks.
Yeah. So it was like terrible and awful. And we were all so close. So my mom like basically moved in with me to New York and we were spending so much time together.
And this was from, you were in Massachusetts? Where were you at?
So I moved to New York and then my dad got sick. He was very healthy and then he got sick with brain cancer, which is just like fatal. So once you get that diagnosis.
It just came out of nowhere.
Just started getting headaches. And so once he got the diagnosis, I was still really young at that point. I was like 22, something like that. So I didn't have, I was just like, yeah, I'll go home. So I,
back when
I,
you could play a mom of younger kids.
Yeah, exactly.
TV.
Back when I was playing a pregnant woman. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, I moved home. And so I had spent like a year watching my dad die. And then after like 6 months with my mom. So I had not seen like people my age. I'd been just like with parents. I'd been in suburbia. So it was so in me and like, and then I just started making these and they really, and it's nice. Cause you know, I'm like, I look at those videos now and it's really nice because my mom now lives in New York City where that house will probably sell. So it kind of is also this nice thing of like, it's going to always represent like that time in my, in my life. But all of those videos came directly after, like if we went on vacation, we'd make it after vacation. If she helped me move, we'd make
it.
Yeah. So they come from a very, they're all very real.
I love that so much. Do you, and this is not to get all, you know, ethereal on it, but it seems like, I mean, it's very funny, but even when I watch this, like this has heart behind it.
Yeah.
It's not demeaning. It's not insulting to your mom. It's that walking that line of like, we're having fun, but you're not, she's not a bad character in it at all. And
no, and like a lot of people comment like, oh, I wish my mom were like this. Like, oh, you're so lucky to have a mom like this who loves you so much. And like, they're,
who wants to know how you're doing on bras.
And exactly. Exactly. It's, yeah, it all comes from just like over a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I wanted as much from that as I could get. So, and I also, I don't know if you noticed during that, you went to full sleep mode. You went like, you
now graduated to, it's getting, one eye is open. I'm sort of, I'm in and out of REM. I don't remember what I just said.
We're working fully from the subconscious right now. Subconscious right now.
What did I do? Oh no. Play it back.
You're projecting and we're really going to get into some heavy stuff based on...
Yeah.
It's all a dream.
Yeah.
Siblings, brothers, sisters?
I have a brother.
Okay.
Older, I have an older brother.
Okay.
And he lives in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, so that's nice. My mom is there now too, so.
Yeah. Are they close?
Yeah, we're all.
You're all.
We're all pretty close.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is both what made the whole situation so hard and so lovely. Yeah. My brother moved home too, so we all, spent time in the house as adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so wild, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like the most tragic thing, but also we were, you know, losing our minds because we were...
It's too close.
Full-grown adults back in this house. Yeah, too close. Yeah.
It's fun to hear you reflect on it, though, because it seems like it's all the emotions.
Totally. And, you know, I really, like, that year was so... It was so amazing. And I look back at, like, wow, what a cool thing. Yeah, it's... I feel in a weird way lucky that it happened at a time in my life where I could just stop everything and go back. Because even though I was young, which sucked, if I were a little older, you know, you can't, like, are your parents alive?
Yeah.
You know, if one of your parents gets sick, like, you have a family. You can't just up and, like, obviously you'll be around them a lot, but you couldn't just up and leave and go back to.
Right.
So I got to, you know, spend every day with my dad while it was happening.
Yeah. What's your brother do?
He is a programmer at Instagram.
Okay.
He's a developer.
Oh, so he could do that wherever.
Yep. So he did it. We were both like back and forth a lot to the city, but he mostly was able. They were amazing.
So have you, as an influence yourself, been like, hey, you got to keep these likes. What are you doing, bro?
I can't believe the likes thing. He works on stories. Like they're all, it's all very specific. So he works on, you know, something different. But this likes thing, I'm like, how are you going to do this to us? You know? I can't believe, I wonder what will happen with it. Maybe we'll just all get used to it or they'll bring it back. Has it started for you yet?
Mm-mm. Has
me
it started
neither,
for you?
But I've seen it started for some people.
Yeah. Are we just not big enough yet? How does it happen?
I don't know.
Is it trickling down? Like,
I don't know.
We're too mid-level. They're like, so you text me when you get it and you'd be like, Dustin, it's coming.
It's kind of like auditing. Yeah, it's like they're not worried.
No, they're not
worried about us yet.
You and I don't have to be that honest on our taxes yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know. Who knows? You know, obviously social media is amazing and I use it and it's helped me in my career so much, but I'm also just like, I'm tired of it. Even with the likes going away, I'm kind of like, all right, good, whatever. You know, I feel very burnt out by social media. Do you feel like your kids are on it a lot?
My kids are not on it at all.
How old is
12, 10 and 5.
Okay. So 12 is getting closer.
He's one of his friends that's not on it.
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that his choice or your choice? Or?
Oh, it's 100% our choice. Yeah. But it's one of those things that you're like, he's a bright kid with like a big heart. And he's like he was saying this the other day. He goes like, Dad, he was just like, people are like kind of pressuring him like, hey, this girl likes you and you're going to get a girlfriend. He was just like thinking about it all the time. And he goes like, Dad, do you think I'm thinking about this girlfriend thing too much? I go, yeah, I think you're overthinking. And he's like, I always do that. So he's very analytical and he's like got just the biggest like heart. But he does have these moments because he's not on social media. He can look at it a little more objectively and be like, hey, that's pretty funny. I saw that thing. But he's also like, I don't like when I'm in a group of people and they all get on their phones. So right. I was like, yeah, none of us like that. Yeah. Be better.
Yeah. I can't imagine being young and having
it's
social
crazy.
Media.
Yeah. Yeah. His friends, like it's whatever is hard about the middle school years, especially middle school, which are already the worst years
the
of
worst
your life.
Years.
No matter what you happen in your life, middle school are the worst
100%,
years of your life.
100%. Yeah.
And now it's everywhere. It's constant. Like all those like anxieties and fears and worries that you have, they're all the time. This because your phone is always with you. So someone is always saying something about you. Or you worry that they're saying something about you. Or
you know, now that you say that, that's another good point of like the reverse is also like, we all got out of middle school and started life. And now in a weird way, social media, it also creates the feeling of middle school into adulthood.
It's awful.
Where it's like, why should we be caring who's like looking at our stuff or who's not? We wouldn't if this didn't exist.
Yeah. And they know that, which is why like there are read receipts.
Of course.
Because that puts pressure on you to respond.
Yes. And, so true.
And it's why they show you why do we need to know who sees our story?
That is the one where I'm like, get rid of that before you get rid of likes. Why do we need to?
And it's reversed because I would look at more stories if I knew. I was like, sometimes in my most petty moments, I'm like, I don't want them to know that I look at this stuff.
Of course. It's like a game. It's I know. Like we shouldn't be thinking. It's so crazy.
It will be interesting to watch because to me, Instagram is by far my not counting podcasts as a social media because they're a different, this is a different thing altogether, but it's my favorite of, you know, the big three. And because it's not as toxic, because it seems to be genuinely more positive. And there's just like, it's harder to get into debates and all the stuff that's on Facebook.
Agreed.
And now they're the first one to show like a little bit of humanity.
Totally.
And they're like, hey, what we're doing might be bad. Let's get rid of it. And if it just burns, it'll be hilarious. Like,
I know.
Oh, they weren't the problem. We were.
I know.
We wanted the likes.
That's the thing is like, I worry that we're now conditioned for these likes that we'll try to get it somewhere that people will just be like, yeah, we have to get this somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like before you know it, it's going to be like, Aunt Diane's going to be like, I got a TikTok. You know, it's like, we're just going to go somewhere else. It's not going to go away.
Are you on TikTok?
No, I had to stop. I didn't even go on Snapchat. Because I'm on Twitter a lot and I'm on Instagram a lot. And I was just like, I can't add another.
Thank you.
I can't add another.
Same.
Yeah.
I was like, is it enough?
It's enough for me. I can't, because if I go to TikTok and then it's like, well, also because of what was the one that like Vine?
Yeah.
I think Vine scarred me too, where I was like, it just shut down.
Oh,
and I'm
like,
if you do get on TikTok and you start, you can build on something and then it could go away.
Periscope was still technically kind of around, but we're like, ooh.
Yeah, that had such a quick spike and that was like,
it was the thing.
It was and so was Facebook Live was pretty big too for a second there. Yeah. And then,
Man, oh man, do I avoid when people go live online though.
Remember when we used to get, there was a period where we were getting notifications all the time of people. It's like, that is the last thing.
If I see the live thing, I'm like, I do you ever accidentally click on somebody's? Oh no!
Oh no! And you're the first one there too. Oh like, no!
Hey, what's up, Dust? No!
No! No! No! No! No! No! No! No. Yeah! 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 Oh God! It's all just it's got to just be loneliness. It's and they've yeah. created a world of where we're reliant on
right.
our friends online.
Yeah.
To the point where we haven't made relationships in real life. And so then it's like, yeah, I guess I'll go live. Yeah.
Do you feel that having some success on social media has helped or hurt that with you personally?
I do have to say, on the whole, it's all just been, it's been net positive.
Right.
Because it helped me so much with my career. It was, I feel like, you know, we get into this career to like make art and make people laugh and do what we think is funny and get paid.
Yeah.
And social media helped me do like the first half of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how to like make a full career and obviously get paid. And
mm-hmm.
but at the end of the day, I'm like, well, social media has helped me be like, well, I've at least satisfied this itch of like I've made people laugh and I've done something that I've made art that I like. So
right.
if I never were to make more, you know, money from it, then that would be okay. So I feel very grateful. Like imagine people 30, 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you really want to make people and you don't, you to not, I can't imagine not having the ability to just make a video or
right.
just have to wait for money or production or companies, someone to say yes. We don't have to wait for anyone to say yes now
no.
to make stuff.
Yeah. Gatekeepers are like a thing of the past.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that is like a huge win.
Mm-hmm.
But since I moved to LA a year ago and I really have focused in LA on like trying to make friends more and like spend more time with mm-hmm. people one-on-one and or not one-on-one, but without the phone.
Like over a podcast.
Like over like this.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, certainly we have to put the content out still.
Oh, 100%. Every hangout I have, it's filmed. Yeah. 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 No, no. Make no mistake. Yeah. I'm the notification you're getting. Yeah. I'm going live still. I'm on Periscope. Yeah. I'm the last user.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think if I can use it professionally and then mm-hmm. have a friend life outside of it,
yeah,
then that's when I'm happy. But there was a period in New York when I was so just online that mm-hmm. I was like, that's not, who did I, oh yeah, my friend Ben Orbison, really funny guy. He was like, it's kind of like running on the, like making friends and being with people online is kind of like running on a treadmill. Like it's still exercise, but it's not like running in the mountains or on the road, you
right,
know,
yeah.
like at a certain point you got to just like breathe air.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that when you'll really do commit to a time of like not doing it, like even just a couple days and you're like,
wow,
it's like seeing in color.
I know.
Cause you know, it's when it's in your pocket, you know, it's always happening.
That's it. So it's not only things are happening, it's like you are also aware of things not happening. Like, you know what I mean? For as long as your phone is on you and not like buzzing, you're yeah. also aware of like, oh, I didn't get the thing.
No notifications?
Yes.
Yeah. You ever take a flight that's like a 3-4 hour flight and you're like, man, I'm going to, when I open this.
Oh God.
And then you do and it's like one notification. You're like, ooh.
Oh, it's so dark. Yeah. Oh my God. I have a voicemail. Hello, this is Social Security. Your Social Security number has been hacked. Have you been getting those?
Oh, yeah.
I've been getting about a call a day like, hello, your Social Security number is gone. It's like, what? You
better follow up. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good, what a great scam because it's like, I don't know how that works.
No.
okay. Uh-oh.
Sure. Who does? How do they get a Social Security yeah. number?
What do they do with it?
Who do I call about that?
Who do
that?
I call?
It's not the DMV. That's the closest I know to an institution like that.
It's like my mom or, yeah, the DMV.
Do I go to the Capitol building? Do I drive to Sacramento?
Who do I go to talk about getting my Social Security number
back? I'm going to need my birth certificate and my baby footprints is what I'm going to need.
What time was I exactly? It's so wild. Yeah.
I like that you asked about my kids though, on that, because I get that a lot of people, like, we're all in it. And we also, like, the way we're thinking about it is very, like, you know, we're adults. And so we rationally and objectively, it's like we're just kind of like sip the poison a
yes.
little bit. You're like, it's all right. It's not a problem.
Yes.
I can take a day off. It's not an issue. But we also, like, think about it. What would it be like if, you know, because it is. It's so tough. Like, when you just, like, you know, like, well, when I pick my kids up and like, you know, my kid's the only one not on a phone, we're having a conversation, two of them are on their phones. It's like, ugh,
oof.
What are they looking at?
I know.
I always assume the worst too.
Right.
I never be like, eh. And I look back, they're like, hey, this is cat video. And it's like,
oh yeah, I bet it is. That's what they're calling it. You sick weeks, you get away from my son. They're like, no, really. Yeah. It's a cat that talks.
Yeah, right, yeah. No, internet could be super helpful. No, there's this Boston mom video. It's pretty good.
Yeah, wait, let him watch it, Dustin. Let him watch it.
Yeah, yeah, we need the views.
Views of you. Don't you feel like that's kind of why like stand-up is still beautiful? Because mm-hmm. it's just like, it's present. It's just, it only works if everyone is like, right here,
right,
and with it, yeah.
It's all the live. It's the same thing with like a live music.
Yes,
you just go and like my wife and I went to a concert this last week, and we're just like, this is amazing.
It's
I make sure. Did I post a story about
Absolutely.
It? Of course.
You got to the point where the stories were so small.
No,
you know where it's like you kind of have to squint. You're like, oh no.
No, mine was less. I wouldn't. I just needed to know. I needed to post it so that people knew I was at it.
Yep.
And the band knew I was at it.
Well, they had to know.
They had to
the
know.
The band had to, the band the band mid song said, someone said, "Thank God." And it was Dustin's here. Carry
was
on.
This Dustin who? Exactly. Oh, okay. Thanks for sometimes when I hear people talk about it though, they do say the concert one people use a lot. They're like, "Oh, you know, everybody said they're out," and I was like, I don't know, I kind of like sharing that I was at a concert. And
I
then,
agree.
And then people will be like, oh, I like that band too, and we made a connection.
Agreed. And there, God, there's no better feeling than being at a concert. You have to share it. You're like, this is so amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What? Who was it?
It was Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. Oh. So, yeah. Well, I mean, you probably haven't heard of them.
Yeah, I haven't heard of them, but that's cool. That's a...
They were also a recent guest on this podcast.
Oh.
And also got a bottle of Dow.
Wow.
Caps off.
Oh, my God.
Like you said, a dreamy sponsor.
A dreamy sponsor. I can think of no greater sponsor.
Yeah, it's an easy thing. Because like we don't... to bring people into how this works for me, we'll connect with somebody and then I message them. And as I sent you that message, it's like, because I'm going to come up and I'm going to stay up here. There is just no non-creepy way to invite somebody to your hotel room.
Totally.
And then, but I felt like I softened it. Was like, do you like wine? And you're like, well, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What could make this? Yeah, what could make this just more professional? I'll pay you in wine.
Okay, absolutely. I'm 100% in. Well, gosh, that was like it makes me such a visceral joy that your mom is not only a fan, but she did those things with you, because I watch them and they make me happy, and they have so much heart behind them, and that you guys are like sharing it together.
Yeah, and it's really nice for her too, because I think moms, as I'm sure you're aware with your wife, moms just are so incredible and they do so much selfless work all the time. And so to see people online like giving my mom a lot of accolades, being like, oh, she's so sweet. You're so like lucky to have a mom like this, what a loving mom. That really makes her day, which is nice.
Yeah, I love it so, so much. So was it going to be brother next? Give some brother love? Like every other members of the family, like, so when do I get a shout out? I was a pretty good uncle.
I was doing a reel for something, like a character reel, and my rep sent back like, yeah, this is good. Can we do any non-family members? It was like, I realized I had done like Greek grandma, mother, like kooky uncle. Yeah.
Is the extended family very close, or was it just kind of the four?
No, three?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very close. I did a show in Rhode Island and it was basically my whole, the audience was just my family.
That's where you're from is Rhode Island.
Sort of.
I've seen the New England posts.
Yeah, I'm from Seekonk, Mass, but my mom was like born and raised in Cranston, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And all of her family lived like in the same neighborhood. So
nice.
I have a lot of like second and third cousins that I'm close with.
Okay. Were people mad when everybody moved to New York then? Like, all right, these big city.
Yeah, I guess. Although I am like, I have a cousin in Australia.
Okay.
I have a cousin who came to San Francisco a while ago.
Yeah.
I have a cousin who went to New Hampshire. So everyone kind of split before me. So I didn't have to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
At least I'm not in Australia. You can always fall back on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hey, come on, man.
Hey, come on. Could be Australia.
Literally on the other half of the world.
Australia's crazy. I mean, that flight is so long.
It's too far. Yeah. At a certain point, you just go, do we need to fly that long?
Right. Have we gone too far? I don't,
Australia, you should have to go by ship.
Right.
To like earn it.
You should have to, exactly. It's like, that's why there are kangaroos there, because they were like, we're going to reward them with these magical animals if they make the trip.
And they're nowhere else because it's so far.
It's so far.
Yeah, like the kangaroo's like, how are we supposed to get out of here?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way anything.
We can't make that flight. We can't do, nor are we interested in it.
Australians also just feel so cool. I feel like I've never met everyone who's from Australia. It seems so great and cool. I think it really is like it's so far that once you get there, everything's just lovely.
Yeah.
Because they, yeah.
It's there. There's, it really is. It's, I feel like they're just like, they probably don't have problems, right? I mean, everything, which is, of course, wildly incorrect.
Of course.
But from this far away, we're like, everything's good, right? Everybody's smart and beautiful. And
yeah, everyone's smart and beautiful. They drink good coffee. Yeah. There's like, everything's green.
They have a pet kangaroo. Yeah. They, just, they high five with big knives because there's no violence.
It is funny to think of just Australian people like, bored in an office, you know, because they probably are. They're living the same lives as us.
They all are.
But in our head, they're like climbing a mountain, and they they're all climbing a mountain in my head. No one works in an office in my head, you know.
There's no hospitals.
Like, it's just there's no hospitals. You know, everyone's nobody healthy. Gets sick. Nobody gets sick. Babies are born in the ocean. It's just like everything to me.
They can swim right away. Yes, they can just
The dolphins are friends. It's all just the beautiful.
The dolphin was the wet nurse.
But no, I'm sure it's just
So that's why the cousin moved there. That makes sense.
That's why she moved
there. Does everybody get together? Do you guys have big family reunions and stuff like that?
Yeah, we still
love a family reunion story.
I love a family reunion. I really miss home. I get definitely really homesick. Every holiday we all get together. But, you know, I am at the age where all of my cousins now have families too. So, and everyone's kind of spread out.
Right.
So it's a little bit less now.
Yeah. Is there pressure there? Like, hey, I mean, we see you're a Walmart mom. Are you ever going to be a real mom? Is that?
Yeah, I think that there's not a ton of pressure yet, but I'm sure there will be. I know you know this, but this career is just so wild that I am trying to just go full steam ahead before having a kid.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's just
mine was a different route, like because I didn't start until I had kids, like so it was a very I was 27, we had two kids at the time, and so we had just like I'd like done like, you know, 10 different types of jobs, and then when we moved, because I'm from Seattle originally, and when we moved down to San Diego, I'd always loved stand up, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna go try it, I've wanted to try this forever, and I did it, and then I just kind of kept at it. So it was a very I never had career without wife and kids, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've told this story before a couple times on the podcast, but the first one show I ever did, the open mic, the bartender goes, are you married? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, you should get the divorce now because there's no way it's gonna work. And I've always kind of carried that as a chip on the shoulder.
Totally.
Like, no,
watch me.
Yeah, I think I can make this work.
Yeah, I almost think the reverse. It's almost like, no, you started that. Yeah, that's your base, so you you know what that's your
I don't have to write material, I just have this full exploitation.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you just, that's the two of us just mining our loved ones for content and money. It's great.
We share that in common and Trader Joe's apple cider.
That's it.
Soap.
That's it.
Which, can I be real? Is it too potent, the smell on that soap?
I'll say this. I don't mind the smell, but I think when you get the foam, it goes away so soon. I don't almost trust the cleanliness of it.
Oh, really?
It kind of just disappears. I'm like, where? I don't know.
I'm full on the other side.
I
love the foam. Go foam or go home. I can't because I can see what it's doing.
Oh, okay.
I can see where it's covered. Well, you know.
Can we both agree on one thing?
What's that?
Bars of soap, lunatics.
Who's still buying these?
I mean,
farmers in Dayton who aren't going to therapy.
It's the farmers in Dayton. They're listening to this, going, "Wait a minute! Oh, I was on board up to now."
Yeah.
When I see a bar of soap, I my life flashes before me because I think, did they cook for me? Did I shake their hand? Everything goes through. What contact have I made with them? Because they're cleaning their hands with this.
Yeah. What about when you get in your shower and it's only the bar of soap?
Well, that's unthinkable. If that happens,
it's unthinkable.
That is, I can think of no greater nightmare.
But as a kid, we're like,
of whatever. Course. There's one. Yeah. And I'm sure it's better than that apple we're probably putting God knows what is in that apple soap that we're using.
Yeah. I know. It is interesting once you go away from barred soap, you can never go back.
No, you can't.
And shower, I look at it and I feel my skin getting dry.
Oh,
it's like, how did we do this?
I like that you keep it in there. There was a humbling reminder of where you've come from.
Well, we have it because my dad lives with us and he still uses it.
Your dad lives with
you? Yeah. He moved in a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah.
We charge him rent, the whole thing.
My grandpa lived with us growing
up.
Yeah. That is so great for your kids.
Yeah, we like it. Especially
if you're on the road.
Yes, absolutely. Though he can be a fourth child a lot. Especially when he's like, hey, I'm going to get another back surgery. You're like, really? Are you just...
I thought you were going to say like ice creamer No. You're like, yeah,
he just works out his ailments.
He's trying to get a new back surgery.
Well, he's a hypochondriac. But I do, I have some jokes on stage that I like to do about my dad that are very similar, that I'm never trying to put him in this bad light, but we're all just kind of share our weird, unique experiences together. Because my dad was like I'm from the Northwest, but he was from this like rural town in Oregon, which has like, there are rednecks in Oregon, but they're a very unique type of redneck. They're very like, they like have a Confederate flag and a vote for Bernie. It's weird. But like I talk about how he wasn't emotional. Like I never saw him cry over thing, but I did see him cry twice during NASCAR races. And like, that was it. But not, he's still in a positive light at that point. I'm not like, he was beating me. Like sometimes you're like, no, he did his best.
You can really tell when a joke is coming from a place of love or hate.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And like people get uncomfortable with hate. And and I even do a lot of jokes about my dead dad. And I had like a show about it. Mm-hmm. And when I did the show, it always like, it was always very clear that I loved my dad.
Right.
And so then by the time I got to really dark jokes, it was like, well, okay, we can laugh because we know how much pain she went and we know how much, but sometimes if I just jump into like the darkest, which actually I think at that show, what I started doing was I started asking, do you guys want my lightest joke or my darkest joke?
So then
it kind of primes them of like, I'm aware that this is my darkest joke. But before I started doing that, because I would, if I did that joke out of nowhere, like if I got the light and I was like, I want to do this joke, people would not respond well because they'd be like, hold on. Yeah, that's so disrespectful. But then, you know, once people know you love, well, if you can make your love clear, then people will laugh at anything.
Absolutely. And I think that that is true of your videos too.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of fun where there's a lot of love behind them.
Yeah.
Well, we love your videos and thank you for doing this podcast.
Oh, and thanks
for being
having
a funny
me.
Comedian. And we did it.
We did it.
We can now test the strength of your egg chair.
Yes,
you.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the?
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.